Episode 303 of the PNC Progression Wrestling Podcast. It is a Sunday afternoon. I'm Elio. He's Ben. And Ben, we are recording this on Sunday afternoon, unlike the regular Saturday schedule.
Yes, I had to attend. Well, not had to, but the company I'm associated with, Elite Pro Wrestling Alliance, had their first major show of the year.
Now, Ben, before we go on, you have to give us a report.
Well, actually, it was a big evening. So there were two major matches of the evening. The first one was for control of Elite Pro Wrestling Alliance. Dad wasn't there, but his faculty was trying to take over control of the company.
So he's the one that's involved in this story?
Well, his faculty is, yes.
Oh, okay.
So him by extension, he has to have say over, you know, over what they do, you know, because there's Coach Michael Osborne, and then there's Professor Jacob Edwin, and they're the members of the faculty, along with Daniel Alexander Dabrowski, Dad.
We have to follow Dad's rules.
Who I will remind you, his theme music is the Family Matters theme song.
That right there is awesome. You know what? That's it. You know what? You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to make my debut, and I'm going to come out to the Full House theme song.
Absolutely, yes, you are. And I was both a Family Matters and a Full House nerd back in the day. That's how you knew that I grew up in the 90s.
Okay, you know what? I've been on TikTok. I've been seeing a lot of clips of like from episodes of Full House. Now I want to go watch the entire series from beginning to end again, because that was my Friday nights. Me and my brothers would be downstairs in the computer room watching Full House at 8 o'clock, 8:30, Family Matters 8:30 to 9.
Yes, I am. Okay, well then we have more in common than I thought, because that was what I was doing as well.
Oops, did I do it?
Yes, and that impression was very good. So, the other major match of the evening was TJ Sykes versus, oh god, I'm blanking. I had a long drive.
Yeah, you showed me a picture of that guy that you just mentioned.
Yes, it was TJ Sykes versus I'm blanking. Let me pull it up while we're talking, because I drove for close to 8 hours yesterday. So
you drove. Okay, cool.
Well, my dad. And, yeah.
Yeah, so, 8 hours. That right there. That's just.
Yeah.
I don't know how do you do 8 hours on the road? Like, do you get tired after a while?
Yeah.
I mean, I get tired after 8 hours on a plane. 21 hours is worse. That's how long we drove from Canada to Florida back in 91.
Oh, my God. Well, at least you were much younger back in that.
And nonstop, we got home at like 1 a.m.
Oh, dear. So while I'm looking for this, let me give you the... Let's have Elio actually give you
the rundown
for the rest of the show.
So today we got the Weekend Wrestling. We're going to go over the New Japan February 24th Kazuchika Okada farewell show. And we are going to go over our predictions for AEW Revolution. In addition to that, we also have Block C of the tournament we were working on, the 101 greatest, the 101 matches everyone should see once. And of course, we round everything out with wrestling roulette, and I might throw in one or two items in between that.
Oh,
Plus,
yes.
we are debuting a new segment that will be taken over by Ben. That is the fuck off segment of the week.
And we do have a quite well, I don't know if you call it impressive or scary. I showed it to Elio and he thought it was scary, which I don't blame him for. Yes, so it's always exciting when we can debut a new segment. I think you'll
You did show me. Yeah, that was scary. And I also saw the same picture on Facebook. I was like, what the fuck?
Well, no, but that's exactly how I introduced it to you. Because when I sent you the Twitter,
No, but I saw someone else posted on Facebook as well. And so I said, after you sent it to me, the second time I saw it, someone else posted on Facebook as well. I was like, what the fuck?
I know
Okay,
people are not.
you know what? In addition to that, I also have another thing to throw into that segment.
What's
Because I
that?
heard the most ridiculous quote this week. Are you
Oh,
ready for
God.
this?
Yeah, go ahead.
Tony Khan changed pro wrestling.
I'm sorry, say that again.
Tony Khan has changed pro wrestling.
And which numbnut said that?
Oh, some stupid AEW fanboy, that group that I'm in, the We Love Wrestling group on Facebook that we usually share posts to.
Yes. Well, that's ridiculous. Maybe wrestling POV should get out of that group. We're better than that. Holy shit. But while you were giving the rundown, I did pull up the card just to make sure would get it right. And I would have had it right had I just told you right off the bat.
All
But
right.
I wanted to make sure that I got it correct and I wasn't delirious.
Okay.
So it was a the main event for the Elite show was TJ Sykes versus Jason Radetz in a 30-minute Iron Man match for the Elite Pro Wrestling Alliance heavyweight title. And that was fantastic. I bet you can guess how it ended, Elio. Because you and I both understand the structure of these Iron Man matches. So pop quiz question for you. Did it go into overtime or sudden death or did it not?
I'm gonna say it did.
Yes, it did. And TJ Sykes retained with a 2-1 victory in sudden death over Ruthless Jason Radat. So that was very good. And in all seriousness, I know sometimes we do the independent spotlight courtesy of Elio, but if you guys are anywhere in the Mid-Atlantic area or anywhere in the Northeast and you're interested in some independent pro wrestlers that you need to keep an eye on. I would give you several right off the bat, but these two guys, the Red Prince, TJ Sykes, and Ruthless Jason Radass are at the top of my list. And then there's also Professor Jacob Edwin. He's also very, very good as well. So he is part of the faculty along with Dad, and even though we've had our run-ins from time to time,
Uh-oh,
I...
you had a run-in with Dad? Did you get
oh
disciplined?
oh, well, no, but still, because none of these people would discipline me. I'm I'm a little high up on the ranking system. So
okay.
there you go. Anyway, so that was fun last night. So that's why I'm a little bit hungover, adrenaline wise.
I just have a question. How long do these shows usually last? I'm gonna guess two hours or
2.5 hours. Yeah.
Cool.
It's they do much better at time management than Tony Khan does.
Jeez. Holy.
And speaking of that, I have a minor bone to pick with you, Elio.
Uh-oh.
I was listening to the book segment, and you did not suggest that we add Tony Khan's booking to the book.
Oh, I know. For real, I'm going to bring that up for sure this week, because we just want to get everything out of the way, because I want to wait till this AEW Revolution to see what bullshit he pulls, because then next week we're going to talk about it.
Oh, and I didn't have the opportunity to get my picks in, so you guys are going to overtake me on the pay-per-view points game, but that's okay.
No, you're doing your picks on here today, and then I'm going to add them.
Oh, okay, very good.
Because the card is already posted. I just need to get your picks, and then I'm going to post them for you.
Okay, very good. Yay.
All right. Go on.
So enough with the preemptive stuff. Let's jump right into the week in wrestling. We'll get that out of the way first.
Which one do you want to do?
I'm gonna do Dynamite and SmackDown.
All right, I'll take Raw and NXT.
All right, cool.
So we'll get into this beginning with Monday Night Raw, and here we go. Okay, for highlights, I have the opening segment with Rhea Ripley and Becky Lynch. I got Sami Zayn and Shinsuke imprinting the New Day. And Grayson Waller and Cody Rhodes. And I have to say, I loved the end of that match with Paul when Paul Heyman came out, because I got to see my friend on TV. I haven't seen him in a while. Did you notice the three guys behind Paul Heyman?
Yes, I did. The suspended police officers.
Well, the one in the middle, it's my good friend AJ Kirsch.
Oh, that's awesome.
He former WWE Tough Enough contestant and a friend of the Wrestling POV podcast. We had him on with us, I want to say back in around 2020, 2021. We had an interview with him, but I knew him before that because we had him on Pipe Bomb Radio when I was the producer back in 2014.
Oh, that's awesome. Yes, Elio has a very deep history with the podcasting business, even deeper than mine. So he'll show off from time to time, as you just heard there.
And now, low
don't
points.
Break your hand patting yourself on the back there, Elio.
A very hard with some proof pat on the back.
Exactly.
No, for low points. I've got Raquel Rodriguez versus Chelsea Green.
Chelsea Green!
And Indian Candace versus Sheena and Zoe Stark and Liv versus Nia.
Yeah, I completely agree with you there. Now, for me, although much of it is the same, I have to tell you, I don't think you mentioned this high point.
Which one?
Sami Zayn and Shinsuke.
I did. That was the second. I said it right after the Rhea Ripley Becky Lynch segment. I said Sami Zayn, Shinsuke Nakamura.
Oh, okay. Okay, I just want to make sure.
Yeah.
But I thought that was very good. And if it was me, I would. It seems like they're going in the direction of Chad Gable versus Gunther, which I actually like.
Yeah, I don't think we need Dominic versus Gunther.
No, that's absurd. That's absurd. At first, I really did think that they were going with Sami Zayn. But I'm glad that they're going with Gunther because with Gunther versus Chad Gable, because they have a longer story/history with each other. And then I also agree with you with New Day versus Imperium. Although minor gripe. I do have a very minor gripe.
Okay.
With the hockey jerseys, because the last street fight that we saw,
they with were Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens.
Yes. Those two were wearing Pittsburgh Penguin hockey jerseys because obviously they were in Pittsburgh.
Right.
And then of course, Kofi and Xavier were wearing San Jose Sharks uniforms because...
Well, they were in San Jose.
Well, yeah, but it's just... It's a little cliche.
Okay.
It's a little lame.
All right.
You know, it's one thing if one of the combatants has a connection to Pittsburgh,
right,
or San Jose. Like, for instance, if, let's say, Corey Graves was still wrestling, right? And he wore a Pittsburgh Penguins jersey in Pittsburgh. Like, okay, I'd be fine with that because he's from Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just... Otherwise, it's like lame.
Yeah. Okay. You know? I can see that. Yeah. I mean, it's like the same. It's like if I like wearing a Leaf jersey in the Toronto, the Scotiabank Arena, which I'm sure someone will probably end up doing at some Money in the Bank.
Well, yeah, it's just kind of lame. I don't really like it. But then another high point for me was the McIntyre Rollins promo. That was really good.
Yep.
And then that was it for. And then of course the Heyman and Cody thing. That was also really good. And I had the same low points as you. So we don't really have to go too far into that. Although I do have one more, which was the actual match between Grayson Waller and Cody Rhodes. Yeah, I thought that was a very lame main event.
You know what? I don't like Grayson Waller. I just don't get it. There's something about him.
You know, I think I'm not. I was higher on him when he was coming out of NXT.
Mm-hmm.
And, he lost a lot of momentum when he came out to the main roster because he got hurt in his last NXT match. And, yeah, he's good now. But it's just... It's just... This thing with Austin Theory is just going too long. And as a result... He's both guys are losing a lot of steam for me,
yeah.
And I think we're seeing the results of that right here. So did you have anything else to add for Monday Night Raw?
No, that was it.
Okay, very good.
All right, so go on.
And I'm assuming you have plenty to say about NXT. I don't, ladies and gentlemen, because I don't have to watch NXT anymore because of the schedule shakeup with Wrestling POV. So, Elio, be a deer. Be a deer and suffer through NXT for me. Will you? Take it away.
Okay, so, you know what? The high point, I put it. Roxanne and Shakara Jackson is a high point because really there was nothing on this show that stood out. Kenneth James Klein Jordan was terrible. I can't stand Idris and Malik. And the Good Brothers, I guess they're trying to give their characters like a reset. I don't know. It's just weird seeing them on NXT.
Okay, so let me say this, because I completely understand those who might have a negative something to say about the Good Brothers in WWE. And based on their booking, I completely sympathize with that. Now, it is true that I have a semi-personal connection with them because I'm best friends with some of their very good friends.
See, there's Ben showing off. I'm not the only one that shows off.
Exactly. Go on. No, but my point.
Yeah, I'm just messing with you. Go on.
But my point with the Good Brothers, specifically Luke Gallows, which is my connection back to Elite Pro Wrestling Alliance and the Cumberland area, it's just they do have like an impeccable resume, right? And if you look at them in Japan and what they accomplished over there with the Bullet Club when the Bullet Club was still a really big deal,
yep.
And what they formed, you know, with Tama Tonga and Bad Luck Fale, they were the original four. You know, I mean, these guys talking about Gallows and Anderson, they should not be booked as a comedy tag team, right? And so when they were put with AJ Styles in WWE, I was like, okay, we got something here because AJ Styles had connections with them back with his run in New Japan and everything like that. So I'm like, okay, this is great. And then WWE completely shit the bed with them because, now, I know this is going to come off as a shock to people, but because, not really, I'm being facetious, but because WWE didn't create the Bullet Club, they didn't capitalize fully on that, and I guarantee you, Vince has no idea what's going on in New Japan. So, you know, and here's a trivia fact for you guys, in case you guys didn't know this. Vince had to be reminded that Luke Gallows played the fastest character. He had no idea who Luke was when he came back.
Well, damn, I had no idea that was Festus. And I hired a guy. He was working for me.
You know, it's horrific. Yeah. And so these guys should be getting treated so much better. I mean, that's my point, because their resume is impeccable. And I'm not just saying that, but I mean, if you look at some of their work in New Japan, they were at the top of the card every night. They weren't just backing up somebody like the Young Bucks in AEW. I couldn't believe that. Now I know that they're friends with the Young Bucks or whatever, what have you, but Jesus Christ.
And okay, I have to say, and it's kind of weird because on the main roster, AJ slapped Carl Anderson in that backstage segment. So on SmackDown, they're faces, but in NXT, they're heels. I don't get it. Because they were heels, apparently they had a backstage confrontation with Bron Breakker and Baron Corbin this past Tuesday. Now, another high point, and you know how I feel about the Heritage Cup matches.
And you know how I feel about them.
This one was a high point for me because Noam Dar lost his Heritage Cup to Charlie Dempsey.
I was reading that, yes. I was very surprised.
So the right person won it. I just don't want to see Tiny Tim return.
Oh, God. I'm, you know. You'll have to keep.
Oh, yeah, Elio.
I know. Please don't. I'm gonna hang up.
I have to beat myself. I'll have to beat myself.
But it's just, if we have Tiny Tim come back, it's gonna be a problem for you, not for me, because I don't have to watch this shit anymore. Yay!
It is gonna be a problem for me. Oh my god. But yeah, that's all I have for NXT. I mean, yeah, it's the same thing. Oh, but also, I have to play a video for you. I found it on TikTok, and this was hilarious. So give me a moment. I'm gonna pull up the video, and Ben, I'm gonna be back in a second here. All right, Ben, so I found this on TikTok this past weekend. This is R-Truth. I guess he was at NXT. So check this out.
Johnny Gargano, Johnny Wrestling, and DIY's blowing up right now. Y'all hot, dog. I'm telling you, bro, just for me, I see a lot of Shawn Michaels in you. Yes, I do. And you keep doing what you're doing, you could be the next Heartbreak Kid.
What? What?
He was cutting that promo on Shawn Michaels.
What the?
Oh my god. Shawn Michaels.
When I saw that, I was like, what? Shawn Michaels got that look on his face, like, what?
Shawn Michaels just slowly shutting the door.
That was just great. I was like, oh my god, when I saw that. I mean, R-Truth is hilarious.
I love R-Truth.
Johnny Gargano, yo, dog. I see a lot of Shawn Michaels in you.
Good lord. So I think we have time to get AEW in.
Yeah, I was just gonna say, I think we have time to get this in.
So thank you for taking NXT. That was very kind of you. So Dynamite, if I could get my computer to work, here you go. So this is the last, this is the go home show before Revolution, and Hangman Page comes out here. This, and I'm saying this because this is a low point. So Hangman Page comes out on a crutch. Long story short, he announces that he's not going to be involved in the world title match at Revolution, which at this point was scheduled to be a triple threat match with him, Samoa Joe, and
Swerve. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. And this segment would have been fine had the fans already at large not been alerted to the fact that this was an angle the week leading into this show. Because if you recall on Twitter, it was reported that Hangman may have a personal issue which was going to possibly prevent him from appearing at Revolution. Well, apparently not, because he bashes Swerve from behind after Swerve showed some compassion. That and Swerve's reaction to his supposed injury was very surprising. You know, he took a very face-like approach to that. That was kind of weird, because of the dynamic that we've seen between Hangman and Swerve this whole time. But long story short, Hangman attacks Swerve with a crush, and the whole thing just made absolutely no sense. And no. Samoa Joe is just sitting back like, what the fuck? But meanwhile, he's got a smile on his face because he's beating the shit out of one of his contenders. So it's like, okay, I don't know. But that I have to tell you, that was a low point because, you know, it was like watching a hopscotch fight.
Okay, remember when they had their match and Swerve asked for 5 minutes and Adam Page wouldn't give it to him? And the fans were booing?
Yeah.
And this week he attacked Swerve and the fans are cheering.
Yeah, it's just weird. I don't know.
What?
These AEW fans are ass backwards sometimes. So that was a low point, and everything else was pretty much a low point. Specifically, Nick Wayne versus Orange Cassidy.
Oh my god! Just stop.
I messaged you like, what did Nick Wayne do to get a title shot? You're like, against who? Samoa Joe? I'm like, no, Orange Cassidy.
Yeah, because I hadn't watched AEW yet. I watched these shows after they're finished recording, so I passed through all the commercials and stuff.
Well, that's because you're a smart man, but it's just like, what in the world is going on here? So that was a low point.
Putting on Wayne.
Yeah, and stop then... Another low point was Chris Statlander and Sky Blue. I love both these ladies, but no. The belt shot by Hart getting involved was terrible.
I have a question. When did Stokely Hathaway turn face?
I don't know.
What? Was he like the manager, the leader of the firm or something? Like, was he a heel?
Yes.
So when did he turn face? Because Chris Statlander's not a heel.
I don't know.
What is going on?
I give them credit for this. They were showing video packages explaining who Atlantis Jr. was and Chris Jericho's history with his father. But this was the most random thing ever between Chris Jericho and Atlantis Jr.
And Ben, we will be back after this break because I got something to say about that as well. Okay, that might lead to the fuck off segment. We'll lead into it. So we'll be back.
Stay tuned, folks.
Okay, we're back and we're gonna continue with AEW because I have something to say about the Atlantis Jr. versus Chris Jericho match. Now, Taz is going to go in the fuck-off segment.
What is that?
Because did you hear what he said in during that match?
Which part?
He said, I hate second-generation wrestlers.
Well, I did hear that. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. You must hate Hook. You must hate Hook, right?
No,
that's what you're saying, right?
He kind of said it in a tongue-in-cheek fashion.
But still, he made himself look stupid.
Okay.
I mean, come on. He's not entertaining. He even said to Tony Schiavone, he's like, Tony, get off my ass. I'm trying to be entertaining. You're not entertaining, sir.
Oh, that's funny.
But, okay, so I pointed out the BCC and versus Eddie Kingston, FTR, and the rest was just all downhill. Like, that Nick Wayne, Orange Cassidy, stop.
No, I don't get it. What? I mean, okay, first of all, because I stopped with the Chris Jericho versus Atlantis thing, because we were running short on time.
Yep.
So let me finish my comments with that, then I'll give you the rest of my the rest of my thoughts.
All right.
I understand that we got a highlight package kind of explaining the history of Chris Jericho in CMLL and the fact that Atlantis Sr., who accompanied his son to ringside, was apparently a mentor of Jericho's when he was young. Okay, I get that. Wonderful. But by and large, myself included, nobody has a fucking clue who Atlantis Sr. or Jr. is.
I've only heard the names.
Okay, and by the way, even if you have history with Atlantis Sr., and this is no disrespect to him, because I don't know anything about his career or to say anything positive or negative, right?
Mm-hmm.
But even if you have a lot of history with Atlantis Sr., why does that warrant you having a match with his son?
I don't get it.
I don't know, Jack, because I guarantee you the larger American audience has nothing to do, has no knowledge of these guys.
Nope.
Look, I'm trying to make a larger point here. The thing is, folks, you know, Tony Khan is seemingly making a big deal out of this DMLL thing that he's got going on here. Okay? But with the exception of Volador Jr., who I knew because I had recently watched a New Japan show he was on, okay, I have no idea who these people are. When they attacked the BCC, I was like, who the fuck are these people?
You only know who Mystical is. That's about it.
Exactly. And, you know, it's...
Oh, by the way, it's another one. Apparently Mystical is in MLW now.
Oh boy. It's the same thing with Mystico and or with Atlantis Senior and Junior. It's like, what's gonna make me care? And yes, has Jericho earned the right to do what he wants to do? Yes, absolutely. But why are you gonna put them on TV ice cold?
Yeah.
Talking about Senior and Junior, if you want to make a big deal out of it, you know, give us like a video package a week or two ahead of time, build up the legacy. Don't just give us a video package, you know, 20 minutes before the match is supposed to start and expect me to care. Did the video package help? Sure. But you'll also recall that they had a video package with a Don Callis segment that Jericho had with him a few years ago, and he was supposed to have this huge history with oh God, what was his name? Bad News something from 30 years ago.
Benny Zellin.
Yes.
Benny Brown.
Yes. But come to find out, according to what Elio was telling me, they have no history at all.
Nope.
So it's like, how am I supposed to believe that he even has history with this guy, Atlantis Sr.? You know, and maybe Atlantis Sr. is too old to get in the ring. Okay, I get that, but like, does that mean Chris Jericho has history with Atlantis Jr. now?
I just don't get it.
The point that I'm making here, folks, is that the larger American audience is not going to know that. Okay, and Elio and I are hardcore fans. If anybody's going to know, it's us, right?
Yep.
I'm not patting us on the back, but I'm just telling you, with you know,
30 plus. Well done. Gary Horowitz approved.
Yeah, but with 30, but with 30 plus years of watching wrestling, if anyone's going to know, it's going to be us. Because we do our research and you know, we know what we're talking about.
But you know what, Ben? You can't say that the show was terrible if you're talking to the AEW fanboys, because they'll get mad. They'll say that show was awesome. What are you talking about?
Well, they can go back in their musty basements and not take a shower for a week and just fuck right off.
I had a run-in with a few AEW fanboys. I said the show sucks. Right? It's garbage, and they get all mad and flabbergasted, and they were like, "You don't know what you're talking about." Actually, I do.
Me and you, we're perfectly well groomed. We're, you know, we look like humans who have been outside. You know, shut the fuck up.
AEW fanboys, you're in the fuck off segment. There you go.
Exactly. So,
I'm just trying to gather like stuff for that segment.
But there were four matches on this show, and only one of them, with the Blackpool Combat Club, FTR, and Eddie Kingston, was a high point.
There were four matches.
Yeah.
Wait, because I don't really keep track, because all these segments in between confuse me.
Well, I don't blame you for that. You know, now that I don't have to watch NXT anymore, AEW is easily the hardest watch of my week. I mean, it really is. And I, for the first 2 years of this company's existence, I was an AEW guy. I loved what they were doing. I truly did. But since that point, they have gone off a fucking cliff.
Yep.
And I don't know what the hell is going on here. So that's my commentary for AEW. Did you have anything else to add?
No, that was about it for me.
Okay. Now, SmackDown is going to be easy. I don't even have to pull up the review, folks. I mean, I have it on the computer, but I don't even
Ben,
have to.
Sorry, Ben, before you begin, did the screen black out for you?
Many, many times, and you're gonna beat me to the punchline.
No, go on. I just wanted to ask if it did for you.
Yes, many, many times, and it was I was getting a very severe headache as a result. But here's the thing, okay? So they made two segments out of this Rock Roman Bloodline thing
mm-hmm.
on Friday night, and it was the best thing on the show. It carried the show. It was awesome. The content of what was going on in the ring was awesome. And prior to the show, The Rock had cut a promo, which he posted on Instagram, which was the original, I think, was 14 minutes long. And then he added, you know, six more minutes. So it was about 20, 21 minutes long. And this
No, then,
thing,
then they drew it out even longer than that, to 40.
And this thing was tremendous. Did you see this Instagram thing?
I have a video. I'm not sure. Is The Rock like outside and he's cutting a promo on Cody Rhodes or something?
Well, he's in a gym, but
okay, because the one I saw was where he said Cody Rhodes from the bottom of my heart.
Yeah,
that one, okay, I saw that one.
And it was tremendous. The in-ring promo was tremendous. That was the high point of SmackDown. And okay. if this stuff had been set up a little bit earlier on, after, like in the immediate aftermath of the slap. I think you would have heard a lot less bitching. And there was one particular segment of the 21-minute thing that he put online. It was very interesting because he was in the middle of his promo, he intercut pieces of footage, right? And okay. one of the interesting pieces of footage, you know, The Rock was explaining, you know, you had this issue with me. You won the Rumble. You have the right to change your mind. The Rock doesn't have a problem with that. What I do have a problem with is the way you did it. And then he cut to a piece of footage where, and then he's talking over it, and it shows this actually happening. So he proves it. So backstage at the press conference in Vegas, you know, they go up to each other and they're like hugging and dapping each other up and all this, and it's all well and good, and the Rock's point is, you know, if you have an issue with me regarding the Rumble, or if you changed your mind or whatever, then you take me aside at that point. You know, don't call me out, you know, in front of all these people and embarrass me in front of my family. Which, you know, so he's doing a good job of turning a situation where realistically The Rock used his power, because they're also using that in the storyline. The Rock is using his power to insert himself into WrestleMania, but yet, based on Cody's actions, they can make a very compelling argument that Cody went back on his word, and that's why they're pissed off.
Okay.
So if anybody has not seen that piece of footage, it's tremendous.
So on The Rock's Instagram?
Yeah.
Because, I'm going to look it up right now while you're talking. Go on.
You know, and throughout this thing, he's explaining that, you know, he got on the phone with Cody, and while Cody wasn't necessarily happy with it, The Rock was explaining to him why The Rock versus Roman was a bigger match, and this was the bigger opportunity, and this was what was best for the wrestling business, and how they all were born into the wrestling business, and let's make history. And, you know, and apparently Cody was cool with all this, and then he went back on it. And that's the argument that they're making. So it's honestly very compelling. So while I stick by the fact that this was not the original plan, folks, because if this was the original plan, they have gone about the most convoluted, fucked up way of doing it that I've ever seen. But no, I'm fully convinced that they heard the fans' reaction and they're doing what they can to make it right. So from that perspective, I appreciate that. But that is the high point of SmackDown, and that's pretty much all we have to talk about. Now, if you want to add something else that I'm excited about, we did get the return of Rey Mysterio to set up his WrestleMania match with Santos Escobar, which, sign me up for that, please. Take my money. Ka-ching. I have been begging for that match. So that's amazing. But those are my high points for SmackDown. And the rest really, I wouldn't necessarily call them low points, but the rest of it was completely irrelevant. With the exception of Rey Mysterio, Santos Escobar. What did you have?
So, first of all, I had Santos and, there were some matches, they were good. They were low points, it was good. But the highest point I have is that Rock promo. Now, what I'm going to say, though, about the Peacock and Fox blacking out the screen throughout the
constantly. It made it unwatchable.
Let me just say, you fans that want to complain that you want the Attitude Era back, you want the Attitude Era back, here you go. Here's your Attitude Era, and this is what you're going to expect. Because it's not going to be like it was in the 90s. So there you go. There's your Attitude Era.
I mean, they were blacking shit out constantly, and it was so annoying. And
I don't want to hear fans complaining about how they blacked the screen out, because you asked for this.
It was interesting because I was listening to the latest episode of Wrestling POV, Clay made an excellent point when you were talking about the blackout and the problem with the presentation of the whole thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's like, and he said, "What's wrong with people saying shit?"
They see every week on AEW.
Exactly, and I didn't watch AEW Collision last night because obviously I was out of town. But
Collision.
no, I don't. But Chris Jericho said shit in his promo with Wardlow. Oh, and by the way, speaking of that, before we get back to SmackDown, apparently they canceled the Meat Madness match and made
yes.
it.
Yes. Yes. Go on.
So I'm very happy about that. So there was that. But Clay was saying, why can't they say shit, because we hear the crowd say all kinds of stuff, and all that, and that was a great point. And if they would just let shit ride, and let And let the promo speak for itself, and let the reaction of the crowd speak for itself without trying to edit themselves, it would come off so much better. Because the amount of times that screen blacked out / went silent.
Well, do you know why it was blacked out?
Was unbearable.
But do you know why they blacked it out so much?
I think it was a Fox problem, but I
honestly... No. I know why they did it.
Why?
There was a sign in the audience. Someone held up a sign saying "Die Rocky, die."
Oh jeez. Well, and I heard about that too, but that's the entire reason.
Yeah, that's what I was reading. That was the reason for it. They were blocking out the screen for it, because every time the camera was panning the crowd, every time that sign was on camera, it would get blacked out.
Well, then that's the camera person's problem. Aim the camera in the other direction, you motherfucker. That's a production problem on WWE's side. It's very, very weird.
But I don't want to hear fans complaining. You want the editor back, here you go. This is what you're going to get.
And look, folks, The attitude error is not coming back. I understand where you're coming from, and I think this version of WWE under Triple H, we're already seeing drastic improvement. But the attitude error is not coming back. Please just stop. Shut up. And by the way,
yeah, but shoot, The Rock said in this promo, I think it's already back somewhat.
Well, but that's my point. It already is to a certain degree.
Yeah.
You know, the
but like, it's not going to be like the 90s. That was some crazy stuff.
Yeah, I mean, we don't want to see, you know, Val Venus getting his dick chopped off with a sword.
No, no. I don't want to see Val Venus, period.
Or we don't want to see, you know, Mae Young giving birth by hand. And here's the other thing, folks. You know, and I'm surprised we haven't heard more backlash about this, right? Because guess who's still all over the network because they can't delete it all? Vince McMahon.
Oh,
Vince McMahon is everywhere, all over the place. And yet, because he is, you know, such an integral part of the product, they can't get rid of him.
They can
say that they're doing as much as they can, but realistically, they can't get rid of him. So where's the outrage about him still popping up everywhere?
Yeah.
You know?
I just when I see him on screen, I tune him out.
Yeah. Yeah, I do too. It's very strange. But anyway, so does that wrap up SmackDown for us?
That's all I have for SmackDown.
Okay. You want to do New Japan first, and then we'll do.
We can get New Japan out of the way.
Okay.
I'm just going to pull up the card here. Give me a minute. So, New Japan, this was Kazushi. Now, Ben, what did I tell you? Because you were asking me about guys who on their way out to winning or losing, right?
Yeah.
And later tonight, what did we see with Tama Tonga? He's on his way out, and that was his last night.
Yeah, well, and you were exactly right, but that one was also a little bit different, because those were his brothers on the other side as well.
Did you see the language between them, motherfucker, and all that?
Yeah,
like, geez, what's going on?
No, but they were probably having a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was like, and when they started pushing each other, but we're gonna get into that. All right, I have the results. So New Beginning in Sapporo, Saturday, February 24th, at the Hokkaido Prefectural Sports Center. All right, so in the first match, we had Togi Makabe, El Desperado, Yo, Oleg Bolton, Shota Umino defeating House of Torture, Evil, Ren Narita, Yuichiro Takahashi, Shoyo, Shinobu Kanemaru. Then,
no.
Sorry.
Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Okay.
Then we had the third match. We had Chaos, which was Bishman, Goto, and Yoshihashi defeating United Empire. This was Kazuchika Okada's farewell match.
Yes, and this was the first one that I really watched.
Go on.
Yeah, and I was legitimately surprised by some of this. You know, and I apologize because before we cut to check something, we were getting some stuff a little bit confused, So that's why we cut. And this match fell into part of that. Because Matt Riddle was in this match, and I thought, for some reason, I thought that he was in the pre-show based on the listing that I was originally looking at. But then when I saw that Kazuchika Okada was in this match too, I was like, okay, let me go back and watch this. So match-wise, I gotta be honest with you, it was a little bit harder for me to follow because there was so much going on. With it being a, you know, 8-man tag, which typically I despise, but because of the fact that it is what it was, I decided to take a look at it. And the fact that Tomohiro Ishii was in it helped because, you know, he's one of my favorites.
Yeah. I like that. I like Tomohiro Ishii.
Yes. And I also, one of the things that I really enjoyed about this match was the commentary was really putting over the question of what's next for Chaos. You know, are they done because their leader Okada is leaving, or is new leadership going to step up to kind of keep it together? And realistically, we never really got an answer to that. I guess we'll see in upcoming shows. So let me ask you, Elio, let me ask you that question. If you were New Japan, would you keep Chaos together, or would you disband them in Okada's absence?
I think whenever, like, one of these guys like Okada leaves, I think the Chaos can stay together because there are different incarnations of Chaos. You can have different members of the group at any time in the ring. So it's like, even though the leader's not there, it's still a faction because they're still part of Chaos. So I'd keep them together.
Okay, cool. That's a good argument. So the other faction, part that I was looking at, was whether or not Okada was going to win or take the pin, because LAO was explaining to me as this was going on that it's typical for the outgoing superstar to do the honor, so to speak. But I was like, I still can't see him losing because it's Okada. I saying goodbye to Japan. So how could he possibly lose? Turns out that I was correct in that assumption. But Elio's formula came into play with Tama Tonga's farewell match a little bit later on in the evening. So we were both kind of right in our formula of thinking.
Go on.
Yeah, so just to wrap up this Chaos match, one of the guys that really captures my attention is Jeff Cobb, because remember now, he was Matanza Cueto in Lucha Underground. And then we next saw him as Chris Jericho's lackey in his quest to to face MJF.
And he gets his own theme, and every time it shows up in the 5-second shuffle, no one ever gets it because He's ever there. So how do we know his theme?
Exactly. So, and then I loved the sequences between Jeff Cobb and Tomohiro Ishii. I mean, good God, I could watch those guys throw each other around.
Yep.
You know, it just, wow. So that was a very fun 8-man tag. Like I said, kind of hard to follow, especially because I still have trouble following some of the dynamics of...
I'm sorry. This was not even an 8-man tag. This was a 10-man tag, which is even harder.
So, yeah. So that made it kind of difficult. I had to, text Delio, what's going on here? But it's getting easier to watch New Japan shows because I'm getting more familiar with what's going on here. So... I know we just got one match in because of having to pause to check some stuff, but the Zoom is getting ready to kick us out. How rude! Right. Since we're talking about Full House today, so I'll give you a Stephanie Tanner reference. How rude! But we will be back with the rest of the New Beginning Day 2 in Sapporo. Stay right there.
Hey, we're back, and we're going to continue our look at New Japan, New Beginning in Sapporo, and the next match that we had, the Guerrillas of Destiny versus the Guerrillas of Destiny. First of all, sorry, let me go back to Jeff Cobb a minute. So Jeff Cobb is a fun interview, because we had him on the show back in 2018.
Oh, that had to be fun.
So he was fun. He even cut a promo for the show.
Oh, that's awesome.
Now, El Fantasmo is another one. This guy is from Canada, and I didn't even know who this guy was until 2018, when I was introduced to him and his matches. This guy's matches are fun.
Yeah, well, and realistically, I haven't seen too much of him. I've seen a little bit of him, but hopefully that will change now that I'm watching more and more New Japan, because from what I have seen, I'm very impressed.
And I want those glasses.
I do too. I'm very jealous of the glasses.
Right. So we had Guerrillas of Destiny, El Fantasma and Hikaleo versus the Guerrillas of Destiny, Tama Tonga and Tangaloa. Tama Tonga losing on his last match in New Japan. So Ben, what do you have for this match?
So this was, for my money, this was one of the more emotional matches of the evening.
It was a great one.
Yeah, absolutely. I would say it came off as even more emotional than Kazuchika Okada. Number one, I was surprised that Okada started the evening off. I expected him to close the evening, but in regards to GOD versus GOD, you could tell just from everybody's body language how much it meant to them. You know, people say that wrestling is fake. People say that wrestling is not a sport. It doesn't mean anything. Watch this match and then tell me that again.
Yeah, right.
Because you can just see that it did. Now, Hikaleo, Tama Tonga, and Tongolo are all brothers. Yes, one of them is adopted, but that doesn't mean that they're not.
One of them was in a TNA for a while, back in 2016, part of a faction called The Rising with Drew McIntyre and Eli Drake.
Well, I didn't catch that because I completely stopped watching.
No, I'm saying I just know that because like I remember when I was well, I was somewhat watching it back in 2016 off and on.
Yeah, I completely stopped watching at the end of 2014.
Okay.
Like the last big angle I saw was when the Dudley Boys put Dixie Smith through the table in New York. But yeah, the emotion surrounding this match is what made it so good, and the fact that these guys are just so good, period. It was also quite comedic because, as Elliot was saying, they were constantly cursing, like, oh, fuck.
Yeah, I was like, what? Know? What's going on?
and you could hear that throughout the entire match. They were not trying to hide that at all.
No.
Was it the best match? Was it like a classic? I don't think so, but the emotion is what carried it. And so that's what makes it memorable for me. I think Tama is WWE bound for sure, and I think he'll do great things. In WWE. I looked him up and I was surprised that he's 41. He certainly doesn't look like.
Wow.
He looks like he's in his early 30s, for God's sake. The man looks fantastic. Must be that Samoan blood in him. Good God. And speaking of Samoans and these guys, did you see that clip circulating online of Haku in the it's coming in the new Dark Side of the Ring season 5?
No.
Okay. Well, for some reason he hadn't seen the debut of the Shockmaster.
Oh.
Right? And so the producers were like, what? Okay, I really want to show you this and get your reaction. He's friends with, Haku is friends with Fred Ottman in real life.
Right, yeah.
And he's like, okay, you got to see this. And his laughter throughout the whole thing is just absolutely contagious. I mean, it's just, you know, and I was dying. I even showed it to my mom and she got a kick out of it, and she has no idea who these people are. But I mean, she was laughing at Haku's laughter. Because it was, I mean, you know, Haku is known as this legendary badass. And I gotta tell you, this video was almost cute. I know that sounds weird, but it was almost cute. It was just really cool to see that side of him.
But can you imagine if Haku heard you calling the video of his cute? He's like, what?
I think it was Tonga who posted it on Twitter about how, you know, a lot of his friends were reaching out to him saying how cool the video was, and he was like, you know, I'm glad that people get to see this side of Dad, you know, because everybody knows him as the, like, just this badass, you know, legendary figure, and they don't get to see that. So that was really cool.
Speaking of Dark Side of the Ring, we're going to be taking a look at that, because season 5 starts up next week, on March 5th.
Yes, it is March 5th. You beat me to the punch.
But we'll we're not going to cover every episode, though. We're going to cover the ones that we really want to look at.
Yeah, well, I can tell you right off the bat, the one that I'm really not interested in, and you're right there with me, is Brutus Beefcake.
I mean, I'll watch it, but I don't really care.
Yeah. So getting back to this, yeah, this match was one of my favorites, and seeing Tama get so emotional after the fact, you know, he was literally crying.
Yeah.
As he was kneeling in the middle of the NJPW insignia on the mat, so that was quite touching. So if we were doing the traditional high points, low points, I would give that match a high point. It's so weird, you know, because I'm just now getting into New Japan Pro Wrestling, and seeing Taka Michinoku wrestle 25 years later is just, it's weird, but it's like so cool to me.
Well, before that one, we do have one tag team match. That was Rusuke Taguchi and Nick Namath defeating Bullet Club War Dogs.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, did you watch this one?
Yes, but remember this thing I'm using is slightly out of order.
Oh, okay, so, I'm just going by the order because this is in order here.
Okay, and say again which one are you on?
It is Raisuke Taguchi, the Funky Pickle. Sorry, that's his name, the Funky Pickle. I can't make that up. So, teaming up with Nick Namath to defeat Bullet Club War Dogs.
What did he have written on the back of his trunks?
The guy, Rusuke Taguchi.
Taguchi. He had something on the back of his trunks because his finishing move was a hip check, but he was using his ass a little too much.
Yeah, that's his finishing move, man. But on his trunks, he has Funky Pickle written. On his trunks.
Oh my God! All right. Oh Jesus!
you can't make stuff like this up.
After such a serious match in night one, the night before with David Finlay, and now he's teamed up with the Funky Pickle.
Yes, sir.
Oh Jesus fucking Christ! you know, and to be honest with you, it is very nice to see Nick Namath in New Japan Pro Wrestling. Mm-hmm. Did I expect this? Hell no, I didn't. You know, I thought for sure that he would just hang it up after WWE because, quite frankly, you know, you can bitch about his booking all you want to. And believe me, it's justified. Elio and I have done plenty of bitching about Dolph Ziggler's booking in WWE on this show. You know, all you have to do is go look for it. You know, the fact of the matter is he has a Hall of Fame resume. No question about that whatsoever. And the story that he was telling, you know, going into the match with you know, David Finlay, is if I don't win this title, you know, I'm not sure I can do this anymore. Like, I really have to win this to prove to myself that I can still do it. And then he comes up off and delivers one of the matches of the night of night one outside of the women's match, which absolutely stole the show. But then he follows it up with this. And to be honest with you, I was disappointed with him.
See, that when they gave him the title, like the following night, if they're on the card, they usually put the guy in like the random tag team match, which doesn't really have any meaning because only to hold him over until the next big event where he he could possibly defend the title at that one.
Well, and it came off as a nothing match.
Yeah, and that's usually what they are.
I guess that's what bothered me, because after something as significant as what we saw on night one, this was a letdown.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, for as much as we talk about R-Truth and how entertaining he is, I really don't like comedic aspects in my wrestling, by and large. And the Funky Pickle wasn't getting it done for me. I'm sorry.
Oh, your mom would be so proud if she heard you say the Funky Pickle.
Exactly. These matches are way the fuck out of
line. All right, no, it's okay. I got you here. Next one is Bushi defeating Taka Michinoku.
You know, and like I said, there wasn't really a lot to this match. There was a lot of submission attempts, and a lot of rest time, trying to get to the ropes. But having said that, it was still very cool to see Michinoku. If you'd have told me back in 97, you're still going to see this guy wrestling 25 years later, I would have been like, you're kidding.
when I first heard the name Taka Michinoku not in 2018, I'm like, wait, what? Taka Michinoku, he's still around?
Yeah, and you know what's trippy? He looks almost exactly the same as he did in 97.
Yep.
I shit you not.
Yep.
It was just
weird. It was like,
yeah. It was very weird. Strange. Yep. Yeah.
All right. So next up, we had Doki defeating Hiromu Takahashi.
This was one of the high points of the night for me. I was not expecting that kind of a match from these two. I don't know why. But my early impressions of Hiromu Takahashi was that he was comedic. I don't know why I thought that.
I told you he used to carry a Purple Cat to the ring. I guess that's like his some kind of a good luck charm or something. I don't know.
And the eyeballs on his pink shorts. Pink frilly shorts. He's got his. Change those, but this match was fantastic. This was definitely the high point of night two for me, in my opinion. I can't really say too much more than that, only because this was like the first really good luck I've gotten at Doki. And, so first look, I don't really want to say too much because I don't have too much knowledge. But right. from what I was looking at, this was fantastic.
All right. And next we have Tai Chi, NJPW's opera singer. Defeating Shingo Takagi, one of my favorites. Now, first of all, Tai Chi, he came out to the ring with his mask and his microphone, didn't he?
Yeah.
Okay, you see, that's his whole gimmick. He's like defending the opera type opera singer.
And I wasn't feeling that, but as soon as he got in the ring, I'm like, okay, this dude can wrestle. And, you know, we talked about the last match that Shingo Takagi had that I saw, and how intense that was. This one didn't really reach that level, but it was still really hard hitting, and I want to see them move up the card. And I Let me ask you this. Has Shingo Takagi ever, like, consistently been in the world title mix?
Yeah, because I'm looking at his Wikipedia page right now. Oh, I can run down his titles. He's been in Dragon Gate, but in New Japan, he's been a one-time IWGP World Heavyweight Champion. He's been a junior tag team champion, never open weight six man, and never open weight world champion, and a King of Pro Wrestling champion.
Okay, cool.
So he's always been in title picture in some form or other, whether it's the world championship or the junior heavyweight championship.
Yeah, well, you know, and this match was, it was extremely good. I wasn't expecting it to be this good. But I expected Shingo to create a little bit more distance between him and Tai Chi. It was a little bit too evenly fought for me. Like, because from what you were telling me, Tai Chi doesn't really have a serious gimmick, and yet he came out like a badass. That in and of itself isn't a problem, but me not knowing and not having seen him wrestle before, the conflicting vision just kind of threw me off. But this was a good match, and the finisher for Tai Chi, I believe it was called a dangerous backdrop. God damn, that was a suplex. Oh, I allow me not to take that ever.
All right.
even if I was, you know, fully able-bodied, no thank you. Jesus.
All right,
full,
next.
Full being up like an accordion. God damn.
Next, we had a first ever, at least for me it was, hair versus hair. Yota Tsuji defeating Yuya Uemura.
This one was a little bit much for me, okay? Because was it a good match? Sure. But here's the problem. It went 25 minutes, and yet throughout the entire thing, they're talking about, you know, how this isn't 2018, they're not young lions, they're, you know, this is 2024, this is completely different, they're not in school together anymore. But yet, they kind of looked it. Like, they weren't quite ready for this spot yet, and I just couldn't, even with the video package explaining the issue that they had with each other,
mm-hmm.
I just couldn't buy into it. And I'm wondering if that's coming from my lack of exposure to the New Japan product and these guys in particular, or if these guys themselves just haven't done enough, or the video package didn't do enough to make me care.
Well, for me, I haven't really seen much of these guys. Like, I know who they are. I was watching when they were the Young Lions, but still, I have never seen a lot of these two.
Yeah, to me, they were trying to sell it like a Bryan Danielson, Will Ospreay, or a Zack Sabre Jr. classic. Like, that's how they were setting this up, because they were really heavily advertising it in night one, I noticed.
Okay.
And then they had it in night two, and it just, to me, it didn't live up to the hype. It was a perfectly solid match. I'm not saying it was bad at all. I would easily give it like a 3-star, but it just didn't come off as like the big deal that they were trying to do.
All right, and in the main event, my favorite, Tetsu Naito versus Sonata, the IWGP World Heavyweight Championship on the line.
Let me ask you something.
Sure.
What did you think of this? Because I know that this guy is one of your favorites. So what did you think of?
I thought this was a good match. Obviously, both of these guys are members, were members of LIJ. Is still in NHL. I think he's part of just five guys. But yeah, this was a good one. Ted Sonato's match was always fun. And Sonata, of course, was a tag team with Evil.
Maybe it's because I had already seen this match at Wrestle Kingdom, but I just wasn't. I wasn't feeling this one.
Okay.
It came off as like very slow in comparison to their match at Wrestle Kingdom. I noticed that they missed a couple spots, and it didn't come off right to me.
Okay, I mean, I just like, cause I've seen so many Tornado matches that like they're just like fun for me.
Okay.
All right, so that does it for NJPW New Beginnings Sapporo. Of course, we're not going to cover every single New Japan show because that would be way too much. But Ben, the next stop for New Japan, and you can decide whether you want to do this or not. But it's the anniversary event, March 6th. The anniversary event on Wednesday, March 6th. We don't have to do this, though.
No, I think I want to hold off until Wendy's City Riot.
All right, very good. So we can do that. I'll just run down the results when they're posted then.
Okay. Is that okay with you? Because
it's fine. Too much New Japan. It all runs together. It's way too much.
Okay.
Like, even especially when we get to G1 Climax, that'll be a lot. But I'll just run down the results when they're posted on the website.
Cool.
So for now, we'll get into AEW Revolution predictions.
Yay! Hooray!
Oh my god. This show, okay.
You know, folks, I will say this, right? For as much as we, I think, rightfully complain about the weekly shows, they do have very good stuff on their pay-per-views. That is something that Tony Khan does very well. I will say, I think time management is still a problem. I do notice that this one has 9 matches on the main card and 1 on the pre-show.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Okay, yep. It's got 10, unless they added more, I don't know. So the tagline for this is Sting's last match. So it's a Revolution from Greensboro, North Carolina. And are you ready to get into these predictions?
Yes, sir.
Why are you doing preliminary match? There's two freaking every... Oh, okay, sorry, I had the wrong tab open. All right. Yeah, sorry. There's 2 matches on the free show. So it brings the total to 11 matches.
Okay, you have a more updated card than I do, too.
So here we go. Okay, on the free show we have, I hate this name, the Bang Bang Scissor Gang.
It sounds like a gay porno. It's just weird.
Versus Jeff Jarrett, Sutton, Sting, Jay Lethal, Willie Mack, and Private Party.
Why?
This is going to be a 12-man tag team match.
But why?
It is, oh my God.
Elio, why?
I don't know why, indeed. Clay, why?
Can I do your line, please?
Go ahead.
Now look, This is bullshit on top of bullshit.
Oh my god. So I think, okay, I got the whatever the. Yeah, I'll take the. The Acclaim. I'm gonna call them the Acclaim. Fuck this Bang Bang bullshit gang.
Exactly, yeah.
So I'm gonna go with the Acclaim's team.
Yeah, I do too. I'm not sure why they're doing it, but okay.
Alright, second match on the. On the 0 hour, Julia Hart and Sky Blue versus Chris Statlander and Willow Nightingale with Stokely Hathaway again. When is Stokely Hathaway turn face?
That's what I'm trying to figure out. I had no idea.
You know what? I'm gonna go with Julia Hart and Sky Blue.
Yeah, I got Julia Hart and Sky Blue.
All right. So next up, we have. Now, this is really stupid. Okay, Ben, listen to these names. Because they canceled that Meat Madness match. Thank God. what the fuck is a Meat Madness match anyways? No, thank you.
Well, I was when they announced that, I was in the car and I happened to be scrolling and I was like so horrified. I said, what the fuck, out loud, and everyone was like, what?
we're going to bring the fuck off segment in after we get through these days, because Tony Khan, I don't know what the fuck's wrong with you. All right, so this is an all-star scramble match. Chris Jericho versus Wardlow versus Powerhouse Hobbs versus Lance Archer versus Hook. Versus Brian Cage versus Magnus versus Dante Martin. The winner receives a future AEW World Championship match. And why do you have these rankings back?
I have no idea. That's the biggest problem with this entire thing. May I ask you a question, though?
Okay.
Who the fuck is Magnus?
CMLO guy.
Why
you see, fucking... you see, right there. You just asked me who Magnus is. You see, you add these guys, and no one, and we don't even know who he is. No explanation.
Because I know it's not Nick Aldis from his TNA days.
No, this is Magnus. He also wrestled as Astro Boy. He's
Astro Boy.
Okay. He began in CMLL in 2011, then El Luchador and Independent Circuit from 2011 to 2012, returned to CMLL, and that's about it.
But why is he in a number one contender situation for the AEW World Title?
Right there.
Why?
You see.
And furthermore, let's break it down, okay? Because I'm gonna hurry, but let's consider these other names given what's on the line in this match. We have Wardlow, Powerhouse Hobbs, which those two I'm fine with, okay? Given what's going on with them, but Lance Archer, what? He's never on TV. Hook. Is in a world title situation again? No. What? Brian Cage. I'm sorry. I like Brian Cage, but why? And Dante Martin. Help what? Me.
And you have Chris Jericho.
Well, but Chris Jericho belongs in that position.
Yeah, no, I'm saying that because that was the last name, but. I'm Mongus here now. I've got Wardlow.
I got Wardlow too.
Wait, you know what? Hold on. I should write these down so I can post these for you as soon as we're done.
Okay.
So I'm just gonna open up my notepad here and post these for you. So I'm sorry. You went with the Acclaimed on the kickoff, right?
Yes.
And
also Julia Hart and Sky Blue. Yes.
But these two I'm not going to worry about because we didn't even include them because they added them afterwards, after I posted the lineup.
Okay.
But it's just from whatever.
So I had Wardlow for the All-Star Scramble.
All right, so you have Wardlow, okay. All right, so the next match we have is FTR versus the Blackpool Combat Club.
I got the Blackpool Combat Club.
And I do as well. All right, so let's team Blackpool Combat Club. All right, following this, we have for the AEW TNT Championship, Christian Cage versus Daniel Garcia.
Christian Cage.
Okay, and I have Christian Cage as well. All right. Next up, we have Orange Cassidy defending the International Championship against Roderick Strong.
Why?
Exactly.
Orange Cassidy.
Okay. I've got Orange Cassidy as well, but I swear I want anyone except for Roderick Strong, because he's already getting his match. Anyone to take that belt away so we don't have to see that stupid backpack.
Yeah.
All right, then we have Will Ospreay and Kenosuke Takeshita.
Osprey.
Okay, I've got Ospreay, okay. And then for the Triple Crown, the Continental, ROH in New Japan, Eddie Kingston and Brian Danielson. I'm going with
I'm
Will
going with
Brian
Brian
Danielson.
Danielson.
Yeah, Will Brian Danielson. Okay, and I think we better cut it here because we are under a minute.
Yes,
So we'll be back with the rest of the predictions.
absolutely.
All right, we're back and we're going to continue our predictions for AEW Revolution. So, Ben, the next match we have is for the AEW Women's Championship, Toni Storm versus Deonna Purrazzo.
Tony Storm.
Okay, I'm going with Deonna Purrazzo.
Yeah, but actually, I would be pleasantly surprised if that were the case. Because I'll tell you,
Why?
bro, I can't stand
Why?
this Tony Storm gimmick.
Why does my iPad do that? Every time I go and write Toni Storm, it doesn't write Toni Storm, it's write Tonight Storm.
Yeah.
All right, the match number, last match, no, match number 10 for the World AEW World Championship, Samoa Joe versus Hangman Page versus Swerve. I've got Samoa Joe.
I've got some other draws as well.
And the last match for the AEW Tag Team Championships, Sting and Darby Allin versus the Young Bucks.
I got Sting and Darby.
Okay, and I'm going with the Young Bucks.
I think he'll retire with the titles and then lay him down.
Okay, so there we go. That is our predictions for AEW Revolution. Sting's last match. Why do you have to have a tagline? Sting's that everyone knows it's Sting's last match.
Yes, but you gotta treat everybody like they're imbeciles, which a lot of the AEW fanboys actually
Yep, they are. I
are.
know that for a fact, with that, with some of the groups that some of the posts I see, even in the Russian news sources, you have idiots in there as well with their comments.
Well, I'm not. I don't pay attention to any of that anymore.
No, I'm saying like I just because it's on my Facebook, on my homepage, like it'll like pop up, so I'm like whatever. Otherwise, I
Okay.
don't care. All right, so that's AEW Revolution. Ben, we're getting into this tournament, Block C.
Very cool.
Are you ready?
Yes, sir.
All right, left bracket. The first match is Rey Mysterio, Chris Jericho from the Bash 2009, and Hulk Hogan versus Ultimate Warrior from WrestleMania 6.
Really, Hogan Warrior of WrestleMania 6. I mean, Ray, I love you, buddy, but come on now. Historical value.
Well, I mean, this is randomizer. I didn't put these matches together. So, all right, next we have Kofi Kingston, Daniel Bryan, WrestleMania 35. Shawn Michaels versus Mankind in your house, Mind Games.
Kofi Kingston, Daniel Bryan, WrestleMania 35. That was just,
okay,
you know, that was a moment you have to see.
All right. So there we go. That puts that match together. Okay. Then we have Hulk Hogan versus Shawn Michaels, SummerSlam 2005, and a Shield versus Wyatt Family, Elimination Chamber 2014.
You know you're gonna kill me, but I'm gonna say Shawn Michaels Hulk Hogan 2005 because that was just so funny.
Okay.
With Shawn Michaels overselling.
Okay. Next up, we have Brock Lesnar versus Seth Rollins versus John Cena from Royal Rumble 2015. And Eddie Guerrero versus JBL Judgment Day 2004.
Eddie Guerrero, JBL 2004.
Okay. All right. Next,
hey, keep what I said for the tournament, but in all seriousness, you guys should see the Shield versus Wyatt Family from Elimination Chamber 2014. But it's just for comedic value, you know, if you haven't seen Shawn Michaels overselling, you have to see that.
Okay. All right, next is RVD versus John Cena, ECW One Night Stand, and The Rock versus Mankind from Monday Night Raw, January 4th, 1999.
The Rock versus Mankind, 1999.
All right. So that one played that one there, okay. And we have...
You good, man?
Okay.
Yeah, I'm good.
Then we have the Elimination Chamber. Can you hear me? All right.
I gotcha.
All right, next we have Elimination Chamber from Survivor Series 2002. Braun Strowman versus Brock Lesnar versus Roman Reigns versus Samoa Joe from SummerSlam 2017.
Oh my God. Are you kidding me? Survivor Series 2002.
Okay.
Shawn Michaels' iconic return.
All right.
Are you...
Although those brown pants he was wearing were atrocious. Come on, stop.
Well, yes, I agree.
What is wrong with you?
That's probably some of the worst gear, but even pretty deadly has him beat.
That's true. All right, onto the right bracket. The first match is Bianca Belair, Sasha Banks from WrestleMania 37. CM versus CM Punk and John Cena for Money in the Bank 2011.
I'm sorry, I have to go CM Punk, John Cena 2011.
Okay. Now, all right, then we have the Hart Foundation versus LOD, Ken Shamrock, Steve Austin, and Goldust from In Your House, Canadian Stampede. And Bret Hart versus 123 Kid from Raw in July of 1993.
Bret Hart, 123 Kid.
Okay. All right. The next match we have Ultimate Warrior versus Randy Savage from WrestleMania 7. And Kurt Angle versus Lord Voldemort from Royal Rumble 2003.
What was the first one again?
Ultimate Warrior versus Randy Savage from WrestleMania 7.
Ultimate Warrior, Randy Savage.
Okay. All right. Then we have Randy Orton versus Mick Foley from Backlash 2004. Razor Ramon versus Shawn Michaels from WrestleMania 10.
WrestleMania 10, absolutely.
Okay. Then we have TLC 2 from WrestleMania 17, Or Kurt Angle and Lord Voldemort versus Edge and Rey Mysterio from No Mercy 2002.
TLC 2, WrestleMania 2017. Or WrestleMania 17, sorry.
And the last one is a triple threat match with Undertaker versus Kurt Angle from No Way Out 2006 versus Team Cena and Team Authority from the Survivor Series 2014 versus Hulk Hogan against Mr. Mick Voldemort from WrestleMania 19.
Mr. Mick Voldemort. I'm going to go Kurt Angle Undertaker. That match was just insane. That's actually a fantastic, fantastic match.
Okay. All right. So that brings us to the next round, and we have Hulk Hogan and Ultimate Warrior versus Kofi Kingston, Daniel Bryan.
Oh, God. Both historic for their own reasons. I'm going to go with Hogan and Warrior.
Okay. And then we have Hogan and Shawn Michaels, Eddie Guerrero and JBL.
Eddie Guerrero and JBL.
Okay. Sorry, Shawn, you're out. All right.
Yeah, and he's probably closing his door in rage instead of fear this time.
And then we have The Rock and Mankind from January 4th, 99, Elimination Chamber Survivor Series 2002.
Elimination Chamber 2002.
All right, so we have our triple threat match set for the left bracket. Back to the right bracket, we have CM Punk and John Cena, Bret Hart, 1-2-3 Kid.
Bret Hart, 1-2-3 Kid.
Okay. All right. Then we have Ultimate Warrior, Randy Savage, Razor Ramon, Shawn Michaels.
Razor Ramon, Shawn Michaels, WrestleMania 10.
Okay. And we have TLC 2 and Undertaker, Kurt Angle.
I'm going to go Undertaker, Kurt Angle. I think that's underappreciated. I really do.
All right. Our six men, our triple threat matches are set up. Here we go. So left bracket, Hulk Hogan and Warrior versus Eddie Guerrero, JBL versus the Elimination Chamber.
I'm going to go Eddie Guerrero, JBL. That match was just insane.
All right. So,
if you're squeamish, don't watch it.
All right. And then on the other side, we have Bret Hart, 1-2-3 Kid, Razor Ramon, Shawn Michaels, Kurt Angle, Undertaker.
Razor Ramon, Shawn Michaels. I mean, the historic value of that match, it can't be understated.
All right. That brings us to the finals. We have Eddie Guerrero, JBL, Eddie Guerrero, JBL, Razor Ramon, Shawn Michaels.
Razor Ramon, Shawn Michaels.
All right. So Razor Ramon, Shawn Michaels wins block C.
Cool.
All right, Ben. I think we have to debut a new segment before we get into wrestling roulette.
Yeah.
Have you ever had someone that you just wanted to tell the fuck off?
Many times, especially as a wrestling fan.
Yo! This is for anybody who needs to tell somebody to fuck off!
Ben, what do you have for us?
So, for the first inductee, I have this tattoo that I found. You guys know by now that I'm a tattoo enthusiast, but I am not happy with this tattoo.
Imagine that person going into work What is that on the arm? Oh, that's Tony Khan. Who?
You know, everybody would sound like owls. You know? I don't know. Fuck. This absolute moron got a horrific tattoo of Tony Khan. I mean, this thing is black and gray. I mean, the teeth are just terrible. That's what sticks out the most about this entire tattoo. Oh,
The teeth look like little big beans. Okay. Are you okay?
Wow. I was going to say chitlins, but okay. I think I like big beans better in this situation. Good Lord. Now you know we really don't rehearse this shit going into it. God damn. But no, this thing is atrocious. You know, and you know, I have seen good WWE / WWF tribute tattoos, but AEW is not getting off into a good win column here because this shit sucks. And an honorary mention regarding this particular tattoo. The eyes really do make Tony Khan look like he's on crack.
Jeez.
So, have you shown this to the POV crew yet?
No, I should show them that tattoo.
Oh, you should.
I ain't shown that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. So Ben, go ahead, do the honors.
So you are definitely the first inductee into the Fuck Off Hall of Fame segment of the week.
All right. And next we have, and for mine, I have Brother Love, because anytime I see him on a, we have another show called Tuesday Timeline where we review all the old pay-per-views. And there have been a few where Brother Love has had his segments. Let me tell you something. Anytime Brother Love's on my screen, fuck off.
Yes. Well, unless he has, you know, Jake the Snake Roberts on there or something like that.
That's different. If it's Jake the Snake Roberts, it's fine.
You know, but Morton Downey Jr. and Sapphire and Sensational Sherry as part of Brother Love segments, fuck off.
All right, is that all we have for this week's segment?
Yes, absolutely.
All right, so fans, stay right there. We'll be back with Wrestling Roulette. All right, Wrestling Roulette, they play 21 tracks. Ben has to guess which wrestler that theme belongs to. I play only 10 seconds, and we have the obstacles along the way. If a wrestler's theme shows up more than once, it's -1 point. Ben, are you ready for your first one?
Yes, sir.
Is this on? Yo, Jimmy, hit me with that Triple H.
Keep your finger off the switch, Don. That is Triple H.
Triple H, all right.
How are you enjoying unemployment, Kevin? Hi, Kevin. Fuck you. Creepy beaver buck-tooth bitch.
Jesus. All right, number two. Here we go.
Yeah, you don't even know me. Yeah, yeah. Hook. And let me tell you guys a story. If this was wrestling POV and I was doing a guest segment, I would lose a point right there because this is on their band's songs list, and those gentlemen are very intelligent.
All right, number three, here we go.
Io Sky.
Io Sky, I love the scene.
Her name is Io Shirai, god damn it.
Right, right. All right, number four.
Just look at me. Yeah.
What? pass.
All right, so you're 4-1. That is Rob Conway.
Oh my god.
Okay, so yeah, okay, so wait, how many do you have?
Three. I'm 3-1.
You're 3-1, sorry, Matt. 3-1, okay, here we go. Track number 5.
Pass. I don't know that one.
That is Hawkins and Ryder.
I always miss that one.
I got that one the last time it showed up on Wrestling POV.
I know, you were so proud of yourself.
I'm like, I'm the curse breaker. So it's 5-1. No, 5-2.
So 3-2.
3-2. How many Saints? 5. Okay. Go on. Yeah, you keep driving. Okay, 3-2. Okay. Here we go with track number 6.
Here she comes again, like good medicine. Every step.
Maria Kanellis.
Yes. All right. Go with track number 7. Here we go.
Southern born, southern bred. When I die, I'll be
Southern Justice?
No, it is not. Good guess, though. But that is the West Texas Rednecks.
Okay.
All right. So what are you at?
So I am 4-3.
Well, okay. So track number 8 coming up.
Pass, I don't know.
That is Gorgeous George, WCW.
I always miss that one. Jesus Christ. Okay, 4-4.
All right, here we go.
What are you doing to me? You know, Elio's behind the camera playing sing along with himself. You know, to Christian's theme song.
Okay, so yeah, so okay, next one. So it's 4-5.
5-4.
5-4.
5-4.
All right, you will. Track number 10.
I'm a bad man. Bad man. I'm a bad man.
Rikishi.
Rikishi. All right, number 11. Here we go.
Ron Simmons.
Ron Simmons. All right, number 12.
Oh, Flash, you are so funky. Flash.
Flash Funk.
Flash Funk. All right, number 13. Here we go.
Oh.
as Vladimir Kozlov.
Yeah, I would have never got that. Okay, 8 and 5.
All right, number 14.
Pass. I have no clue.
As Tony Storm.
Holy shit, I had no idea. AEW theme songs suck. Okay, 8 and 6.
All right, number 15.
Pass.
That's Wesley.
Okay, never would have got that. 8 and 7.
Okay, number 16. I know you want me. I know you want me.
No one wants you anymore. Enjoy prison, Sonny. Bye-bye.
All right, number 17.
Yeah.
All right, number 18 coming up.
Duke the Dumpster?
Yes. All right, number 19.
Seth Rollins.
Seth Rollins, number 20.
FABULOUS. I'm bad.
Carmella.
Carmella. And your last one, Ben. Here we go. Oh, no. It's the same one.
No, it's not. It's. No, it was a different song, but same guy. So it still counts as a loss, but it's not quite the same one.
No, I'm saying it's the same wrestler, though. It's Triple H.
Yeah. So, okay.
So what do you have with the final score?
So that means that I was at, let's see. So that would have taken me to 12 and,
12 and 9.
Yeah, 12 and 9. There you go.
All right. Very good. All right. So that is wrestling.
Not bad.
Let me just say this before we head out. Now, Ben, I've been watching Monday Night Raw. I'm into the year 1996, right?
Oh, God. You must be suffering.
Well, I just started. But now, you know how WCW beat WWF 83 weeks in a row, right?
Yeah.
I think I know why.
Maybe
if that idiot were focusing more on his WWE, on his company, instead of trying to beat WCW, he would have been more successful, because these early episodes have the god-awful Billionaire Ted wrestling war rooms.
Oh, God.
With the Huckster and the Nacho Man and Scheme Gene. Do you remember those segments?
Yeah, they were terrible.
Maybe if they focused on your company, you would have been beating WCW.
You hear that, Vince? Oh, wait a minute. He's in his trailer preparing his defense. For which there is none.
Billionaire Ted's wrestling war room. Shut up. Jeez. All right. So, Ben, we should make sure they're close.
Absolutely.
All right. So, that is it for episode 303 of Gene Supergirl's Wrestling Podcast. So, AEW Revolution tonight. We will be back on Tuesday with all your results because our WrestleMania 6 and Tuesday timeline will be preempted until the following week.
Yep.
So, with that, I'm Elio. He's Ben. Ben, say next to the fans.
try to enjoy Revolution tonight. In all seriousness, I'm sure there'll be some good stuff. AEW tends to turn it up a notch on pay-per-view. And again, you know, like him or not, Tony Khan has handled Sting's AEW run very, very well. So I'm very interested to see what goes down tonight. And Sting certainly deserves his flowers, and he should absolutely get them. So enjoy Revolution, and we will be back with all our reactions, good and bad, on Tuesday. Until then, Elio, hit the goddamn outro music. Welcome to the greatest love you've ever.